You know, as we, this Thursday is Veterans Day. We get to preach because of them vets. We get to worship the way that we do, and I like to worship the way that we do because of those vets. Our freedoms, they've been surrounding this country for a long time, telling the enemy, you're not coming in. This is a place where we can live out our Christian values. Amen? And we're just so thankful for the vets, for each and every one of you. For those that might be going in, for those that have served, and we know that some have had some horrible duty. Some have got some thoughts in the back of their mind that they really had to work through because of the situations that they were placed in. And they were put in a place where it wasn't their decision, it was someone else's decision, and then they had to deal with what they were given. And we need to lift them men and women up. The VA is filled with people, filled with men and women coming in and out looking for an answer because our government doesn't have them. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You're the answer that they need, these men and women. You're the one that sets them free through the power of God's word. You're the one that brings healing and restoration to their souls. They need us. So for all of you men and women, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're so grateful. And because it's, you know, it's a Veterans Day is coming Thursday, and I'm really grateful because the American Legion, they called and they asked me to come and open up in prayer and close in prayer when they do their ceremonies. And so I look forward to doing that. And I said, well, send me an application. I might as well join the American Legion. And I can't be a part of VFW because I wasn't in a war. And I don't have any memories that are rough to get rid of because I was in the Air Force. And you shut your mouth, Tom. Burr Fine, don't even think about it. I know, all these Army guys, yeah, we know. But, you know, my thinking is I want to join the American Legion because that's a ripe field, in my opinion. These guys have got a lot in common. We've all got something in common, regardless of where we served, how we served, when we served. There's still something, there's a thread that's common in there. And I want to be the man that walks in and says, okay, what are you going to do when you close your eyes, gentlemen, ladies? What's the plan then? And I want a shot at every one of them. You know, if you're a vet, you've been in a war, join the VFW. They're right up here on Union Street. Them guys need somebody to preach the gospel to them too. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a busy person. But if we ain't building his kingdom, what are we doing? And so whatever your area of expertise is, or whatever you've served in, I want to encourage you, go and find those men and women that are struggling, and let's lift them up. Let's strengthen them. And let's thank God. I just want to pray for our vets this morning, not only those that have served, but for those that are serving. We get to rejoice. We get to eat all the stinking turkey we can next weekend, because those men and women are laying in the sand. They're standing on guard on top of mountains in between rock crevices, hiding and walking through swamps so that we can gorge ourselves next weekend. And we need to be a grateful people, never forgetting who's paying the price for us to be able to do what we do. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for all the vets that are out there standing, for every man and woman that are standing guard, the watchman on the wall. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. For all of those, oh God, that are out there, we pray right now, Lord, that you would minister to them. Because as one man said, there are no atheists in a foxhole. When the battle gets rough, they've got to depend on someone else. And Lord, I pray that the men and women that are there that know Jesus Christ, you would give them such a boldness at any cost to proclaim the word of God to those that have never heard. Lord, that you would knit their hearts together in one base after another, one fort after another, revival starts to break out because one man or one woman stood up and said, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the power of prayer. And Lord, that healings would take place not only in their minds and in their hearts, but their physical bodies. We thank you for each and every one of them, oh God. Lord, protect them, guide them, keep them as they serve this great nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah. If you have your Bibles, Open up to 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Miss Kendra didn't give me a lot of time. I think Tom took most of it, but just kidding. Listen, we need to know how to take care of orphans. Amen? We need to find ways to sow into that. And look at, when you bring something to their house, you get to pray for them. If you're like, I don't know how to meet people, now you do. Amen. I don't know how to get into crazy homes. Probably yours is that way, but I don't know how to get into other crazy homes. Now you do. All you gotta do is say, hey, I'll bring over a pillow. You don't have to bring everything they put on the list. Bring one thing. I wanna bring a set of sheets. Well, good, because if somebody brings a pillow, somebody brings a sheet, somebody brings a mattress, there's prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. And by that time, if they ain't saved, you need to get back in school here and we need to study a little bit more, all right? But by then, salvation has come to that household in the name of Jesus and their lives are changed. That's the power of the church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're gonna look at verses 1 through 4 since we're celebrating Veterans Day, and it says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. We gotta start right there. This is not strong in the law. It's about being strong in the grace that God has given. How many people have received grace from God? How many people have received a lot of grace from God? Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't raise your hand, you're a lying dog. It says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Is there enough in Jesus for you and your whole family? For all the days of your life? For every situation you ever get in? There's more than enough grace in Christ Jesus. That's why we gather here today, to proclaim Jesus Christ, to remind ourselves of who he is, to sing of his goodness and his mercy, because our grace that God gives us is strengthened in the midst of this, amen? We're reminded, wait a minute, yesterday has been taken care of, all my needs have been met, he's done it again and again and again and again and again. His grace is enough. When I thought whatever was over, whatever was gonna fail, whenever I wasn't gonna have a job like that lady who ever talked to my wife this morning, how am I gonna make it? Exactly. Jesus. Listen, if you can't find a job right now, you don't want one. The sign-on bonuses go from anywhere from 1,000 to 5,000 for the ones just locally. So if you don't have a job, see me afterwards. Because you need deliverance from the lie of the enemy, from being lazy. If you're handicapped, different ball game. But if you ain't, and you just don't want to work, then you need to read the scripture, because right. I don't know if you should come next weekend when we're going to be eating, because the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Just saying, we got to be the church, so we've got to be exemplary in that arena. We are not looking for something for nothing. Amen. We've already got that in our salvation, amen? We received what we did not earn, but it was imputed to us through the power of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, I wasn't going there. That was last week. All right. Verse 2. It says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3, suffer hardship or endure with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And we're just going to look at those four words, entrust, endure, entangle, and enlist quickly with the few minutes that we have left. You know, there was one old deacon who used to pray every Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. And his prayer always ended the same way. He said, Lord, clean all the cobwebs out of my life. Every Wednesday night. Lord, clean all the cobwebs out of my life. And that prayer meeting went on for every Wednesday night for a while. And one of the other gentlemen in the church, he heard that prayer. And he just heard it one too many times. And at the end of a Wednesday night, he started to pray. And Lord, and he said, no, Lord, no, kill the spider. Yes. I think it's a good day to kill some spiders, amen? Them cobwebs keep coming back because we're not taking care of business. But he said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier, you know? And we're gonna start with the last one. It says that we are to please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And to enlist, it means to engage for service in the armed services or to engage the support or cooperation of. Engage to support or the support or cooperation of. If we're gonna get engaged, we're gonna have to get into this. You're gonna have to engage this. We've been engaged in the portal. We pay now a monthly fee. We said, we're gonna get engaged in this. We're gonna help out every baby that we can. We're gonna help out every home that says, I'll take one more. Listen, there's always room for one more, isn't there? Amen. At your dinner table every night, haven't you had those people that stopped over at 6 o'clock and say, oh, we didn't wanna interrupt dinner. Yeah, they did. And you said there's always room for one more. Can I tell you, we gotta make room for one more all of our time. You know, once we enlist into the kingdom of God, once we come and we get to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, thank God that we enlist with weapons that are different, amen? How many weapons that does the military have, they already retired? Spent millions and billions of dollars and they are of no use any longer. Right, we got the SR-71 Blackbird, Mach 3 plus, and one of the fastest airplanes ever created. It still sets the speed for fresh air flying of over Mach 3. And you know what the evasive movers, right? The C-130 has these flares they shoot out when they shoot rockets on them, and the heat-seeking rockets hit the flares and blow up so they don't hit the C-130s. The SR-71, you know what his evasive mover was? Just give it a little more gas. Russia tried to shoot it down one time, and the scientists said it got relatively close for what they expected. The missile fell out of the air 300 miles behind the SR-71. That's fast when you're out running rockets. Can I tell you? It's obsolete. You don't even use it anymore. It was only a spy plane. It went so fast that they couldn't use it for a fighter because it caught the bullets and shot itself. That's fast. They couldn't use it for a bomber because they couldn't keep the doors connected, because by the time they opened them up, they were just ripping them apart. But it could fly at 85,000 feet and take a picture of your inspection sticker on your car and tell you who signed it. So they use it for reconnaissance. And we'd fly around the edge of Russia and sometimes maybe a little into Russia. We'd take all kinds of pictures. And then Russia would try to shoot it down. We'd just give it a little more gas, and we'd disappear. And it's obsolete. It's sitting in a hangar on display. That's the thing about man's weapons. They all become obsolete eventually, don't they? None of them are supernatural. But thank God for God's weapons. Because God's weapons are supernatural and they never, never, never lose their power. They never lose their authority, ever. Our weapons are from everlasting to everlasting. Our weapons are supernatural. Our weapons, they don't take out other tanks. They don't take out other people. They destroy demons. Weapons of our warfare, they take out supernatural entities when we simply agree with them and stand in faith. Amen? Isn't it amazing? It's not our weapons. The weapons of our warfare are from eternity. So they're no longer are we trying to get our hands on them. What we're getting is we're dropping down on our knees and we're agreeing with the power of God through the armor of God that he has given us and the weapons that he has given us. And the greatest weapon of all, obviously, is the word of God. Right? It broke you down. Right? It brought you to a place of repentance. You weren't gonna. Nobody's telling me about this Jesus. Get that stuff out of my face. I was there when some of you gave your testimony. I remember what you said. And yet the love of God brought you to a place of repentance. Amen. It was a word that came and changed your life forever. You see, the weapons that we carry, once we enlist in the army of God, they break curses, restores families, it moves mountains. And the wonderful thing about our weapons, see, our government right now is trying to redo the MA1A tank. Because now the tank is, this tank weighs 75 tons and it's becoming obsolete because other countries now are surpassing ours. So it's becoming obsolete. So now they got to redesign, they got to reform. The wonderful thing about the things of God is they never have to get redesigned. And one of the things about God's weapons, they always accomplish what he sent it to do. Isn't that amazing? You don't have a wrong weapon in your arsenal when you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. His weapons always accomplish that which God sent them to do. But we're going to have to enlist. We're going to have to enlist. Enlisting isn't coming on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, just a Sunday morning and be done for the rest of the week. Unless enlisting means you join up 24/7. Amen? That means we don't just pray on Sunday or worship on Sunday. That marriages, listen, you don't just enlist and say, okay, honey, I'll see you next Sunday. That doesn't work so well. Some truckers, they do that, but because they're running over the road. But for the most part, if I just told my wife, I'll see you next Sunday, we got problems. Those kind of problems I don't want. No, this is why we got married, honey. I'll just see you on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. Really? Who's bringing in the firewood? Well, eventually we'll have kids and they will, but for now, baby, it's on you, you know? Nobody treats anybody like that. We can't treat the Lord like that either. Because once we enlist, we're going to have to engage. You know, in 1934, Joe Louis, anybody remember Joe Louis, a boxer? All right, you younger generation have no idea. Right. He became the heavyweight boxing champion of the world and successfully defended the title 25 times over 15 years. 15 years he was a champion. And one of the sports voices back then, by a guy by the name of Bill Stern, they asked Joe how he had been able to knock out his opponent so quickly in almost every fight. And after a few moments, he answered, he said two things. Number one, I studied my opponent until I know him better than he knows himself. Number two, I make a plan of attack. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what the enemy is that you're fighting. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's some kind of sexual issue. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I think it's time that you study the enemy. And we find out just how he works. Because your enemy plays with your mind most of the time. There's been abuses in lives, there's no doubt. We're not making light of any of that. But most of the fights you have are in your mind. And most people don't even bother to figure out why they're having a problem in their head, according to the word of God. They don't bother to figure out who the enemy is. So they keep fighting with people. Tell your neighbors, I'm done fighting with you. Tell your other neighbors, I have never fought with you. Yet, no, not yet. But I don't plan on it, all right? Right. See, because we got to stop fighting against ourselves and figure out who the enemy is and then make a plan of attack. And we're going to have to use weapons that are not natural, but are supernatural. What is your spiritual attack plan? Do you have one? Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've been struggling with this for 20 years. Right, because you don't know your enemy and you never made a plan of attack. It's like these silly endless wars that our government goes to over oil or whatever else they're trying to get done. Year after year, they sacrifice you for themselves. That's what they do. This is what we want. Well, this is how many casualties we can plan on having. That's fine, we'll get more. We'll get more. But how many marriages and children and jobs and finances, all of them the same thing. Listen, if you've got a problem, if you struggle with dealing with finances, well then by golly, there's plenty of programs out there that you can understand what the problem is and then get a plan of attack. Dave Ramsey does a good job, amen? Right, here's a good plan of attack for your finances. Get out of debt. Yes. Stop acting like a stinking American. Start acting like a Christian. Right? This is where God wants us. If you want to be free, get out of debt. Because you're a slave to whoever you're in debt to. I only want to be a slave of Christ because I'm indebted to him for all of eternity, for saving my soul. That's it. The rest of the debts, we got to clean them up. Why? Because fear comes into your life because you're living it outside of what God's called you to do. Brings worry into people's lives. Verse 3 says, suffer hardship or endure with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that verb means to put up with something or somebody unpleasant. Hold on. Whatever you do, whatever, please. I know there's a temptation. Do not look left or right. Do not. You got to put up with something or somebody unpleasant. Just look right at me. Please, just look at me. Bite your lip. Don't raise your eyebrows. Don't do anything. Just stone. Because it's a good day in the house of God, and we want to keep it that way. But to put up with something or somebody unpleasant, listen, somebody had to put up with you. Some people are sitting there shaking their head. I don't know how they did it all these years. But you see, if we're going to have to endure, we're going to have to endure differences. Can we agree? Right? The Bible says that there's a whole bunch of there's a whole bunch of gifts in this house, and we want to express them all. And everyone supplies something different. Tell your neighbor, say, my gift is powerful. Yeah. Some of you, that's the first time you even mentioned your gift. I want you to know that God has given them to you, and everyone's got a purpose and a plan in here, and everyone is just as powerful as another. Amen. But we're going to have to agree and endure one another, even when we have a disagreement. Isn't it wonderful getting over disagreements? Aren't you so glad when you're not carrying that burden any longer? Amen. Remember how silly you were earlier on? Yeah, I'm going to win. Yeah, I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to win this one. She isn't winning. It's lonely out here on the couch. Man, maybe winning isn't the issue. Maybe dying is. And this is the way we win with God. We die to ourselves. We pick up his weapons, which is prayer. His weapons, which is worship. There's a song that's out there now. I had it cranking this morning at 5:30 in here. This place was rocking. It was rock. I had to keep all the doors and windows shut tight. I was hoping that nobody called on the houses next door. I had that thing up half past halfway, whatever that reads there, Pete, on the soundboard, and I was cranking, and this guy said, I got a testimony about the goodness of God, how good he's been, and he says, and I'm going to worship my God, and it might get loud, and it just starts building and building, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs how madly in love I am with the Lord, and I'm spinning around all over the place and just running around the church. I couldn't contain myself at 5:30 this morning, and it just might get loud. You know, praise God when the body of Christ gets loud because they're so in love with the Father, they don't care, and they know that his weapons will pull down every stronghold, and one of them is worship. Holy smokes. We're going to have to face every situation that comes, because if you're going to suffer hardship, you're going to face every situation that comes with courage. You can withstand it. Whatever you're going through now, you can withstand the attack of the enemy. We need to continue to live and avoid dying. Yes. Right? Sometimes that's all people think about. We need to undergo or be subjected to the word of God. And we need to be the last, and we need to be usable. See, because if we're going to endure, some people are enduring and they're staying inside their homes and they're just waiting till they die. Some Christians, not even coming out of their houses, not doing anything for the kingdom of God, just waiting around, oh, Jesus, come back, oh, Jesus, come back, oh, Jesus, come back. He said, wait a minute, I already established my kingdom on the earth. All power and authority has been given to you. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. To the pulling down of how many strongholds? One, two, three, all of them. Every single stronghold, every fear that ever controlled or manipulated you, you can rip that thing out and say, I'm free indeed. But we've got people all over the place just sitting inside and nothing to do with the virus. Everything just sitting inside because I can't go out. I can't do this. That's a lie. Because the Bible says that nothing's impossible for them that believe. Amen? And sometimes you're going to have to face stuff. You have to deal with people that are difficult. It was like the young airman when he joined the Air Force. And there was a blowhard Air Force major. See, I'm leaving you Army guys out, okay? Marines and Navy, you guys all get a break today. I'll just take the Air Force one. There was a blowhard Air Force major. He was promoted to colonel. That's a problem all in itself. And he got a new office. And the first morning, he was in the new office, and the airman knocked on the door and asked to speak to him. The colonel, feeling the urge to impress the young airman, picked up his phone and began talking. Yes, General, thank you, yes. I'll pass on the information, I'll pass it along, and I look forward to seeing the president this afternoon. Yes, goodbye, sir. Then turning to the airman, he barked, and what do you want? And the airman said, I'm just here to plug in your phone and make it work. Let's walk humble before the Lord, shall we? We need to be engaged. We need to be employed, occupied, and busy, committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. Commitment means that we're there. Commitment means we change our entire lives. Your desires are not your own. Your purpose is not your own. Your plan is not your own. Everything is surrendered to the King. Amen? Everything is. I know that America, this is the land of independence, and it's really hurt us a lot. Yes. That independent spirit will not garnish or gather anything. It will not build, it will not gather. An independent spirit starts to bring division because it has to be on top all the time. Right. But we need to be the body of Christ that's dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every thought, every desire, and every need. Jesus didn't run from the purpose. He engaged the purpose. In Matthew 4:1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This right here is where God is about to unveil the power of the ultimate weapon ever seen on the face of this planet. Amen. Here it was. He was getting ready. He was baptized. The law has been complete. We finalized it. Jesus was baptized in water and immediately comes out, led by the Spirit into the desert for what? He was getting ready to engage the enemy. Before he started his ministry, he was going to engage the enemy, right? And we know that he was tempted 3 different times. And then he unleashed the greatest weapon the world has ever said or has ever seen. It is written. He unleashed the word from eternity on the enemy, the one who was the prince of this world, the one who was in control of all the kingdoms in this world at the time, the one who said, hey, check this out. I have the power to give to you, Son of God. And then Jesus simply said, it is written. And shockwaves hit the enemy because he knew he couldn't fight against the word of God. Here he brought the greatest temptation the world has ever seen or heard of. And he tried to get the Son of God to bow before him. And Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And every single one of the enemy's plans, his missiles that he was sending, hit the wall, hit that shield of faith as he stood on the word from eternity. And every one of them were diffused. And every one of us learned from that moment forward, the greatest weapon you have in your arsenage or in your arsenal is the word of God. Amen. It was unleashed. It's stymied. And then at the end, all 3 temptations come, right? And at the end, what does Jesus say to the enemy? Go. How hard is that? I think we can all remember that one, can't we? Just practice it. Say, go, devil. Go, go. Okay, the rest of you, you'll join in eventually. Go, enemy.
Go, enemy.
How hard is it? Can you memorize that? That's wonderful. All you got, we were praying here yesterday. I want to thank all the men that came out yesterday. And we had a men's breakfast. And then we came up here and we just cranked up some worship. And it got loud. Let me tell you something. And we started praying. And then we started praying for healing. And somebody prayed and said, yeah, just go. And I'm like, oh, that's my new one. I don't know who said it. But I'm stealing it. From now on, when I'm praying, because if you really believe it, how hard is that? Just go in the name of Jesus. Pain, just go. See, because if you really know it and you really believe it, and you agree that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, then this has nothing to do with some magic potion, amen? It has everything to do with the name of Jesus Christ. The words prior to that, just go in the name of Jesus, because in the name of Jesus, that's where the power is. That's where the authority is, according to the word, which is the greatest weapon the world has ever seen. Because not only does it restore and rebuild men and women, bringing them to a place of salvation, but it then also starts to renew the mind, heal the heart, heal the natural body. Everything starts to change at the power of the word in the name of Jesus Christ. And so as we walk out of here, that thought comes, and you know it ain't of him. Just go in the name of Jesus. How hard is that? And then you know in your mind, you're saying, get out of my life in the name of Jesus Christ, because the power of God is mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold in my life. No drug, no drinking this, no sexual perversion, none of those things. I don't care what you were into. I want you to know God's a restorer, a repairer, a rebuilder, and he makes all things new. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all things new. That's right. You are all new this morning. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he has made all things new in your life. The issue is, do you believe that? Because if you believe it, then you're able to say, just go in the name of Jesus. Because I'm engaged with the enemy, and I know that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. But I'm able to rip out. I'm able to cast down. I'm able to bind and loose. I'm able to move mountains in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing's impossible because of the weapon he has given us. Oh, I'm out of time. Just go. You stay. You go. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're going to have to enlist. And you're going to have to engage the enemy. Stop sitting back taking shot after shot and saying, oh, God, it's so hard. How hard is it to read the Word of God? For some, very difficult, because that Bible's as dusty as it was the day you got it. But it's not hard to read the Word of God. There's more helps out there on the internet than there ever was before to help you understand the Word of God and to stand on it. The greatest weapon the world has ever seen, and so many men and women in the body never understand the power of it. Tell your neighbor, say, I do.
I do.
Yeah. You do. Therefore, you are victorious through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. That's what the Word says. Amen? The Word says everything you put your hands to, he's going to bless it, isn't he? Right. That's what he said. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that? Or do you believe that everything the government gives you is going to prosper you? That's where we got in trouble. The church got in trouble because they fell into that thought process too. But that's easier. You know what the government's doing? It's training people how to get something for nothing. We're going to take it from those that are working hard. We're going to give it to people that do absolutely nothing. Aren't we so nice to you? To half of us. Because the ones that are working hard, their taxes just keep going higher and higher and higher. If you can work, and if you can't find a job, come on in. I'll get you all kinds of applications. I'll have you 10 by Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. I'll have them for you. Why? Because God wants you to prosper. Amen?
Yes.
Isn't that what his word says?
Yes.
That you would be in health and your soul would prosper. Why does he want you to prosper? So you can add to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We got more churches to build, more missionaries to send out. Amen? How do we know we're going to plant more churches? Because that's what the Word of God says we're supposed to do. How hard is that? Obey the call of God in your life. Okay, this is where we need you to go. Thanks, see you later. Isn't that fun stuff? See, he wants to bless the body of Christ so that he can keep expanding his kingdom every single day. We need to get engaged with the enemy and no longer be the victim. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not a victim. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm victorious through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. So you are, according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, some people are like, man, I don't know, Pastor. You don't know the Word. Or you don't believe the Word, one of the two. Listen, I can only beg you with everything inside of me. All of my Christian walk, the Word of God has never failed me. Amen. Mom, has it ever failed you? No, hasn't failed her. Kathy, has it failed you? No. You get them two in a room, you got problems, I want you to know. Just try to say something contrary to the Word of God. They will deal with you. Ask me how I know. See, the issue is, do you believe it? Do you believe that the power of prayer is able to save your entire family? Do you believe the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to wash away all of your sins? Do you believe that you're not guilty? There's no more shame in your life ever, ever, ever. That all of your sins yesterday, today, and forgive and tomorrow have already been taken care of. He said he died for the sin of how many? Oh, for the whole world. The whole world. He said, I've done it. Stop thinking about the sin. Start thinking about the victory. Stop thinking about the failure. Start thinking about the weapons that I've given you. Get engaged with me. Stop being engaged to the enemy. Some people have been married to the enemy rather than the kingdom of God. Some people have married a thought that's demonic and it's wrong, and they believe this is who I am because some psychiatrist or somebody told you that's who you are. You are who the Word of God says you are. Nothing less. And there's a way out. Whatever we're walking in, there's a way out. Any darkness that you're struggling with, there's a way out. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's a loving father. I may have been a little bit loud there and made it look like I was angry, but I wasn't. I'm only angry because people don't agree that the greatest weapon that God has ever brought up on that mountain when he defeated the enemy, he said, it's written. And he destroyed everything the enemy was going to do right then and there. And then he fulfilled the call of God and on the cross. And he gave every single person that would agree with him the opportunity for freedom. So if you know Jesus Christ this morning, you're free indeed. You're free. The enemy has no hold. Stop talking to him. Just go. Just go. Hey, old friend. You ain't one no more. Just go. Amen. Some people have been a friend in darkness. It's time to tell the darkness, just go. And then find out who your enemy is and get a plan of attack. Amen? And let's beat him at the game that he tries to play. Because most of it is renewing the mind according to the Word of God. Let's stand up this morning. I would apologize for going long, but I'm not gonna. What's more important that you have to do today? That ham will be okay. Just cut the burnt part off the outside. Throw it out. Skunks, a coons, a rat, whatever. Something will eat it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I know. My wife likes all that crunchy, crispy stuff anyway. That's her favorite part. I want you to know we're for you. What he's begun, he's able to complete. You got that, Austin? You sure? Don't be distracted. You got time off. Come and see me, all right? We got things we gotta build. Tim, did you get healed yesterday? Yes. In the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. According to the Word of God, he said when you prayed, he's going to do it. That's what he's working on. Jeremiah, it's time. Two words. It's time. Okay? It's time. Enough of them other thoughts. Just his. And it's time. It's time for every one of us. When that lie comes, just go in the name of Jesus. You all remember that, right?
Yes.
Good. Easy to memorize. We can't tell you how grateful we are for you. I'm so grateful because this community is going to be changed by you.
Yes.
See, it's not about a church. A lot of churches. We're grateful for every one of them that preaches the word of God. We're grateful because of the changed communities where the kingdom of God is going to be infused by every man, woman, and child in this house. By faith, other people's lives will be changed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God in here. Some I know and some I don't. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon each and every one. Lord, we agree with your word. We're placing that higher than every other thought in our lives. We are going to grab a hold of your word. We're going to renew our minds. And every thought that we had held higher, one of failure, one of sin, one of darkness, one that because of an ugly past, whatever it was, maybe it's because of someone else's word about you. God's word has the final word. His word brings life. His word brings strength. His word brings peace. And Father, I pray for a peace in every heart right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that there would be a rest that would come as we agree with you this morning. And we agree that everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I say, Pastor, I've never prayed that prayer. We want to give you a chance this morning. And so would the whole church just join in with me and say, Father, I come before you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Your word said that if I ask in faith, I shall receive. Today, I agree that I am your child. I agree every curse is broken and I am free indeed. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I acknowledge there is no God except you. And only through the name of Jesus can I come before you. Today I'm yours and you're mine in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for those that have received Jesus Christ today. I thank you. For those, oh God, who just reminded themselves of the commitment that they've made, of the day when everything changed in our lives, thank you for them, Father. Lord, open up the heavens and rain down on them this week, that every time that they get lost in their thoughts, the only thoughts they have are how good their Father is, how he's always made a way and supplied the needs, how he's kept them, how you have kept us all these years, how you've given us the Spirit of God, the empowerment to walk out into the darkness and conquer everywhere we go. Bless my friends and family this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listen, one other thing. If you've never prayed that prayer before and you're here this morning, don't leave. We have information we want to get you. We want